Hey guys, welcome to the Premier Podcast. This is episode 23. I am your host, Chase Peterson, and I'm joined here by fellow esports businessman, esports enthusiast, Mr. Trent Knox. Trent, how are you?
I'm doing great. Happy birthday to myself.
Absolutely, man. Big happy birthday wishes to you. How old are you turning?
I am 27 as of today. A couple more hours until, you know, officially, but you know, we're rocking, and I appreciate you inviting me on the show.
Hey, absolutely, man. I'm sure there's a wealth of knowledge up there that it's going to take more than one episode to crack open, so I appreciate you taking the dive with me. Today, we are discussing esports branding, esports networking, and so much more. And we could go for a long time, but we're all excited to hear what you have to say. So, Trent, man, tell us who you are and why you do what you do.
Sure. So, I'm going to just stay under the esports moniker, and then we can go into a bunch of other stuff later. But I started in esports really around 2015 when I was a somebody that wanted to be a streamer, I guess. I didn't know anything about streaming. I knew a little bit about like offline video production from going to film school at the University of Hawaii. But I started getting into streaming. I started streaming on a PS4, playing like just sports games and a little bit of...
What kind of sports game?
Call of Duty.
Like 2K at that time, or like...
Madden. Okay. Madden, yeah. I was playing Madden. I also played 2K and FIFA, but at the time, I don't think I owned it.
FIFA.
That's why I didn't play it, but...
I got a pretty gnarly FIFA collection.
You have a lot of FIFA
I think
games
I have,
already?
I think I have 12,
13
FIFAs.
12 FIFAs. All digital or all...
Oh, no. Disc.
All disc.
Yeah, they go way back. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no worries. So this is a long story. So 2015 started being like a little bit of a streamer. And I didn't learn OBS, and I credit this to one stream I was watching of a streamer called Tim Mack. He was playing Arma 3 mod and doing RP in that world. And he started talking and doing, and I hope this will be like that sort of value, talking about OBS and talking about streaming software and talking about like sort of the history of streaming from broadcast software. So he was talking about old Java programs and Flash players, FMPEG players that you used to stream to Twitch and Justin TV and all these platforms. And so I learned about the process of OBS through this stream.
From some legend, sounds like.
Yeah, he's doing great, man. He's been a stream partner for quite some time. And anyway, so going a little bit forward, in my journey, I went to my first convention in 2017 to South by Southwest Gaming. I live in Austin, Texas. I went there and started, you know, learning a bit about the scene. And then in 2018, I went and I started networking with people. So this will go into like the first topic possibly about networking. And you know, unfortunately now, because of the pandemic and whatnot, we're not being able to network in person, but that was the opportunity that I got myself into by putting myself out there. So I started meeting people at different organizations, from grassroots to corporate companies. And then, you know, I've been a videographer for quite some time, and I got myself involved with different conventions and different organizations like DreamHack, South by Southwest, Overwatch League. I was going to BlizzCon, but unfortunately, because of pandemic, I wasn't able to go. And right. But yeah, man, I got myself in the door through video production.
That's cool. I actually did not know that you did video stuff. I'm not a classically trained videographer. I didn't go to school for it, but self-taught, like animation, video editing. I've always been very interested in video editing. So that's been a hobby of mine for a number of years. So that's really cool. What was one of the biggest things that you learned about going to video school? Just one.
So yeah, attending.
Well, I guess it's not video school. That's
no worries. That's not the right I went word to, for it. I guess the nomenclature is film school. I went to technically a program geared more towards independent production and film. And since I did attend the University of Hawaii, which is in Honolulu, Hawaii, I think the biggest takeaway that I got from that was I was an intern / production assistant on the show Hawaii 5-0 during the season 4.
That's awesome.
And yeah, I just got to do cool things like work in the wardrobe department. I got to, learn how to work in an office environment in essentially a Hollywood studio. I wouldn't say that's the highlight. I mean, I really love esports, so like,
yeah, we're not here to talk like, about
that. I liked it. It was fun, but I'm really passionate about esports and I love what I'm doing now.
That's great to hear. So yeah. You started your company in what year?
My first company. Okay, so I started a local company in Austin to cover hip hop, fashion, gaming, and a variety of different stuff in 2016, 2017, end of 2016 into 2017. And it started off as just a podcast with some coworkers from a job that I was doing. And we were talking about local hip hop, local events. We were talking about the culture. And that developed into a company that I did. I hosted events and I was a club promoter.
That's so weird you say
bartender.
That. That's the weirdest thing. Oh, why is that? So before I started doing what I do in 2012, I did that. So I had a different company. It was called Premier Social Group. I started it with one of my friends right out of college. Same thing. We didn't have a podcast, but exact same thing. But it was in Atlanta, right? We had people out at South by Southwest. I think in 2013 and 2014, we had people covering concerts and doing interviews. Man, that's nuts. That's crazy. It ended up being a complete, failure. The music industry just feels not for me. Way too cutthroat. What was that your experience as well?
I'm kind of still I'm still kind of in it in ways. I still do events. I still promote things.
Right.
My bread and butter. Esports is there, but we got to remember esports is only a $25 billion industry. Arguably, some people want to, say it's a little bit less. Some people say it's a little more. Gaming at large is a $150 billion industry. So it is about a quarter of my overall career and journey at this point. I'd love to make it the main hustle, but still at this time, I'm still in the event space. I'm still a videographer. I create content for, all different sorts of influencers and people in different spaces.
That's awesome.
So yeah, to answer your question though, the music industry right now is essentially, and we're now going into a totally different topic.
We're
going
to be here more than 30 minutes.
it's essentially dormant right now because people can't make money off of touring. So musicians aren't able to make the money that they're normally used to. Although, you know, I think a lot of people argue, like, if you weren't already selling on online, if you weren't already on SoundCloud or on you know, multiple content distribution networks, it was destined to happen to you at some point in time. It just the pandemic pushed them over. You know, touring acts, cover bands, they're all kind of hurting here in Austin, and I'm probably think that it's probably the same in Atlanta. I don't know what the sort of, you know, social distancing ordinances or whatnot in Atlanta, but it has made it a little bit easier because our state has, you know, opened up those outdoor venues.
They've been doing a lot of like drive-in stuff here. Like, they've been opening up a lot of the NASCAR tracks and doing like drive-in concerts, like at the Atlanta Motor Speedway. So they've been really thinking outside the box. It's good to see.
Yeah. Yeah. Music is an industry that is way more commercialized than esports, but we could go into the, like, the corporate aspect of esports and some of the dangers that career transitioning people that come into the space have at times alienated some of the grassroots amateur organizations out of some of the capital that is going around in esports. You know, and that happens way more often in music.
I bet. I mean, I didn't dive as big as you did, but you know, I think the music industry, it did teach me something, and it was that you know, working for yourself and being self-sufficient with something that you're passionate about is really where it took me. So your first company was in music, and you're still running with that, is what you were getting at, and then you then started Esports Business Network?
Well, I think I started off doing music, but I moved into doing like my own personal branded things for a bit. Podcasting for myself and being an influencer for a short period of time when there was like a bit of a falling out with the podcast and stuff. And then, you know, I built up a portfolio of the content that I have been producing before all of the falling outs and whatnot when the band broke up. So it was like a period in time in which I was doing my own production. It's Trent Knox Productions. And so I did that for a while, and I did like bartending still and things like that. And then I formed a company with another crew that's sort of in the space of music. Meanwhile, I'm starting to do the esports thing as well, but I hadn't created an esports brand yet. I was doing Cyber City Media. It's a company that was going to be this company called Cyber City Records, because we had hip hop artists and people going to be signed. And also, there are a lot of things that go on in the entertainment business. So now that I start talking about it, all these other projects that were on the way were in the works, I'm thinking like, oh, this time, you know, I'm talking mostly about myself, but there were other projects that I was a part of. Some that came to fruition, some that didn't. You know, so it's started Esports Business Network in 2019 officially. And then I started, well, not 2019 at sort of quarter three, September 2019. It started off as a Facebook group. Started to grow. It was just a sort of like a place for me to share my experiences as I was sort of creating content already in esports for the past 2 years, but I wanted to talk about like the trials and tribulations of trying to make it an income, and make it like the main source of income.
I can attest. And,
yeah. And what I learned along the way was that there's too much, in my opinion, the backbone of professional esports is people who have career transitioned from a decade or more years in traditional marketing, sports, or, you know, branding or public speaking. And so when you go in and you dive deep into these people's history, it's easy to learn how to speak esports. It's harder to do.
I guess I can see how that makes sense. Definitely. No, that makes perfect sense, actually, now that I compartmentalize that. Definitely.
Yeah.
I think that's... let me ask you a question. Do you think that that's why it's taken this long for non-endemic brands to jump in? Because they just don't know?
No. So, it's interesting. So you kind of have to take a seat back because professional esports is non-endemic to all the whole of esports. The foundation of esports comes from the FGC scene. The problem with that is that the personalities within the FGC scene, FGC, and for those people who are newer or getting started in the esports space, FGC is fighting game community. And so non-endemics have created the foundation in the CDL, the Overwatch League, the LCS. Any sort of governed version of esports is completely non-endemic, the infrastructure from the ground up. The teams, there are some teams that are owned by former players or people that, you know, that built their way up. Like, for instance, Hex really recently got Optic back.
Right.
But he sold out Optic to the non-endemic esports investors. And, you know, he did a ninja on that and, you know, bought his royalties back. But, you know, there's so much behind the scenes stuff that, you know, and this is like in no way in comparison does this look like the music industry, because this is like the music industry, and it's a good thing you brought that up, is way worse. So you know, and sports
don't even get started, right?
Another conversation. Yeah. Right. So yeah, I mean, esports is an open space, especially for people who really want to get involved in it. Like, but you have to have passion
or
a whole lot of capital. So when you ask me about non-endemics getting into the space, it's not for a lack of evangelicism or education in the space. It's that they're looking at it as not being a big enough market. Going back to what I said before, is number one, there's not enough people in esports. It's like a fifth of the overall gaming industry.
Yeah, I think I see everybody sees that that graphic going around the internet with the iceberg, you know, and it'll be esports up at the top and then gaming is everything down at the bottom. I've seen that so many times over the past couple weeks go around.
Yeah, and I haven't even seen that graphic.
You haven't? No, yeah.
Oh, you're going to have to share me that graphic so I can share that graphic. But no, it's that's so true in too many ways. I think a lot of people are, you know, couch competitive gamers, small grassroots communities. That's why I said FGC is really the backbone, because they're the ones who create the, you know, make the localized efforts for local tournaments at scale.
Right.
You know, you brought up earlier before we started the podcast about the Fortnite community. They just don't come out in numbers in the local scene. So, which is a whole nother part of
the passion
of my journey in esports. But yeah.
Well, that was a great explanation as to who you are and why you do what you do, I think.
Absolutely.
Let's get to what we're here to talk about. Networking, branding, selling. In your opinion, networking, how do we tackle this as a new creator, a new player, a new business, jumping into the world of esports? You got any top tips for us? Maybe some life experiences you could share?
Sure. Let's role play a little bit.
Sure.
Give me a person that, you know, what are they trying to do?
What do they look like? Okay.
What do they want to do? Yeah.
All right. So I think an answer that a lot of people are trying to solve right now from different companies getting started up here this year and last year have been really revolving around like college level esports and making it uniform and having foundation and having tools. If you're in that age group of being in college, right, and you're going to graduate and be done with your college esports career and you want to keep doing it, what's the best way for that person to network? I know that was really specific.
So in that situation, see, let me just go back to my experience when I went to university. It wasn't clear the path to be involved in esports for me. When I was attending the University of Hawaii, it's 2012 to 2014. And at that time, main game was StarCraft II. And then eventually the 2013-14 timeframe, League of Legends and Dota really took off really crazy. So mostly because of broadcast distribution, now that it changed over to Twitch, being like the main live streaming platform. And so my first thing to say is, if you're a freshman, we'll go through the 4 years. At this point, if your university doesn't have an esports program, whether that be a varsity esports program or a gaming club or any form of an esports program, it's going to be very difficult for you to network in that space, especially I apologize for saying this, but for those people who are in community colleges, it's going to be even more difficult. Now, if you're in the Ivy Leagues, people are just probably going to look at you like they're pretentious or something and look down on you for playing games and being in esports. But forget those people and just do what you're passionate about and love. So what I would say is, first off, if you do whatever you possibly can to be in your local community of gaming. And I understand if you're a transplant from another place that you're attending university in a foreign land to you, then it's maybe complicated. But just getting yourself involved I guess the first place to start, is the game that you love, or whatever the game is that you think that you're most passionate at the time, and meet people that also want to talk that game.
Right.
Talk about strategy.
I would say, to piggyback off of what you said, this afternoon, actually, I had a really great conversation with Patrick Klein over at eFuse. We were chatting about their program that they're rolling out. They haven't really advertised it a whole lot. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's called Pipeline. You ever heard of Pipeline?
I've not heard of
it. If you haven't heard of it, I would encourage you to take a look at it. I think these guys are solving a lot of problems. They're basically taking the guesswork out of how to run a college esports program, and they're bringing it all into like kind of one foundation, getting the stats, getting the live streams, scouting, team management. They're doing a lot for these college programs. But what I was gonna say is, if your college or school or even high school doesn't have a esports program and you want one, have whoever your administrator is go to, you know, NACE, right? Apply, and they may help you out in getting your program started up. I actually saw on their website today they were doing some kind of giveaway for like 12 gaming chairs just for applying. So who knows? If that's something you're interested in, definitely check it out. Anyway, moving on from that, I think, you know, when it comes to networking and esports, it's really you get in what you put out. And my question to you, Trent, is how do you like portray yourself without seeming like you're reaching, you know? How does it come off as being like genuine networking without seeming too selfish? Like, you know, if I reached out to you and was like, hey, you know, I'd really like to get involved with what you're doing, we're in a similar space, that seems very harmless. But maybe not everybody has that experience.
So there's a few different things going on there. First off, esports is global. You need a little bit more of a perspective on the professional scene. This is something that is highly discussed in the thought leadership of esports, is this sense of imposter syndrome in esports, feeling like that you're not you're an outsider, that you're not qualified to be in esports, that you have a high level anxiety, social anxiety. There are all these archetypes that go into the esports scene. And so I just think that that's a limiting factor for people to think that there's some sort of governance over the top of them, limiting their ability to go. So there's really nothing stopping people from just going and putting themselves out there. People are not going to look down on you. People are not going to say you're going too hard or you're doing too much, unless they feel like they're not doing enough themselves. It's them looking at themselves and thinking, how can I limit this person's opportunity, or this person, how can I gatekeep them from achieving better success than me? And so this is something that even at the top 10 people in esports experience, because of, you know, and this is another thing, brought up collegiate, which we can talk about the education system, we can talk about all the things that are wrong in the world, but let's stick with esports. There are people in this industry who've been in the industry for over a decade, and they want to retain their position of power within the industry. And the reason why they do this is because they only know what they know. And some people have become complacent, stagnant in what they know, and they're not looking to learn anything new. So when a game like Fortnite emerges on the market, when a game like League of Legends even emerges on the market, they're not prepared to go and learn a new conversation, a new language, which I think is sort of a limiting factor on being someone that's professional in space. Now, we can talk a little bit more of that in the branding section, but when it comes to networking, and we're kind of, I hope this is like a transition from collegiate to the real world. The collegiate scene is going to be the collegiate scene. And if you want to be, if you want to find yourself a employment in the esports space within collegiate, keep playing that game, you know, try to get yourself a TA position, get yourself, on a coach or as a coach or some position in the esports space. But if you want to come make real money and you want to, you know, you know, be a baller like FaZe Clan, or be like a baller like 100 Thieves, or be a real player in the professional space, you got to leave collegiate behind, because they're just not operating in the way that, you know, profit in esports is going to go further. But networking and transitioning from the university system into the real world, because there just isn't a system built in university for that. And of course, like, there's UConnect, there's Super League, there's Pipeline that you've talked about, there's NACES, there's all these different governing bodies that are trying to govern the govern the overall scene of the industry of esports, even though there's a league of Anyway, so the first thing you do is you get into Discord groups, you get into communities like yours, you get into you actively seek community, and participate in not only one community but multiple communities. EFuse is a good one because they still have a professional side. There's also I don't know how much of a different infrastructure you have. I've looked at the website. There's sign up portals. You can get into a newsletter. It all varies. Obviously, you have we had a community like Nurko, which I was on a podcast with the Nurko official podcast. There's also Gamer Buddy. There's now ePal for people who want to be sort of companion esports gamers. There's Gamer Sensei. There's all kinds of different opportunities of getting involved in community on the professional side.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely it's good to hear. I think what I like most about some of those, you know, best practices that you just shared is that don't be discouraged about approaching anybody because you feel like you're not qualified or for whatever reason. The only person stopping you from doing whatever you want to dream of doing is you actually doing it. And you said that before about, you know, people getting involved in it. You know, it's easier to talk about it than it is to get down to the nitty-gritty and do it. So I think that's a pretty good segue, and we can either go into how you brand yourself, how you brand a company, or, you know, how you can really start generating, new sales, new clients, new sponsors, however, you know, you want to go into this. But which one is more relevant to you in your, I guess, professional background? Is it more into the selling or more around branding?
I mean, I'm an entrepreneur, so I'm, you know, responsible for everything. I have, you know, some, you know, employee training as well. So I know what it means to be an employee. I know what it takes to be an independent contractor. There's a variety of different labels that may go onto someone based on what their occupation is in the world and what their career journey or their job journey looks like. Going back to a little bit here with the platforms that are there for networking, if you're someone that's looking for employment in the space and this is sort of like a transitioning out of the university system, you might want to look at a platform like EFuse that posts jobs, or you might want to look at something like iGenta or HitMarker. And those platforms kind of get you into that segue there to potentially get your foot in the door. Obviously, your relationship building is important. There's some opportunity for internship depending upon where you're at geographically around the world. It depends what's available in your area. So you might get a foot in the door in Riot, or you might get a foot in the door Skillshot, which is out in Atlanta, or
HiRez is hiring.
HiRez, or even developers, even. So all that to say is, like, relationship building is a part of networking. And it really just, some of that is based on your determination and your willpower, what expectations you set for yourself, And that's I'm vibing off this motivational speaking right now for a second.
I'm all about motivation. It, man. Keep going, man.
You know, and so segueing into the branding aspect, it really depends on what you're looking to accomplish or what your goal is. If you're somebody like myself who's, you know, been through a lot of different things, been through highlights and lowlights, as they say, I've found where I'm currying at, where my life's at, is I'm an independent contractor, entrepreneurship, business owner. That's my, you know, archetype, my flow. Been doing that for a while. So I build my, you know, portfolio through the opportunities that are both paid and free. And it depends. Obviously, you got to find where the leverage is. When it comes to branding, you know, it's mostly marketing and advertising. Your logo is important to a degree, which is your aesthetic. So people are going to look at you. And if you're attractive, and you as a person don't necessarily need to be the attraction. It could be the content that you create, the people you're associated with. There are just a variety of different things that can create community, and hopefully that's where you find the foundation of your brand. But also there's always the chance that you're just extremely, you know, fortunate and talented, and as a result, you know, you build up a large following, viewership, you know, whatever the language or metric is, to where you know you can just be your own person and still navigate the world, you know, in sort of this sort of like a distance yourself from the content that you create.
That's a fairly complex answer to branding. I think we could, as, you know, designers and lovers of editing and really the creative side of, you know, what you may or may not see behind the scenes, there's a lot that goes into it. And I don't know, do you do all of your own graphic work for everything, or do you outsource it because of time reasons?
This is a great question. I don't think I have that great of graphic design branding. I don't think so. I originally
Maybe I can help
started,
you with it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, when I started doing this, for a lack of being a trust fund baby, you know, having won the lottery, being, you know, extremely experienced with the venture capital world, I did most of it on my own. You know, I created my very first logo. It was on my own. Some of that has its own intrinsic value to people. The story means more than the actual
content. Right.
Right. The story is incredibly important. So I wanted to say this, though, before I forget, that there's sort of two different worlds. There's the emotional side, the logical side. So you have the artists that are more emotional, that more, ingrained into the content that they create, and they're more, as is very plainly said, emotional about the things that they do. Whereas a logical person is like, and I feel like I'm somewhere in left brain, right brain.
That's what I was just about to say.
Yeah. I'm kind of in both of these worlds, in that I do outsource and I also create. And that's sort of a duality that I don't find a lot in entrepreneurs. It's like the top 10% of entrepreneurs are both creative and have a logical mindset. Why I say that to say that, like, you can outsource through freelance websites like Fiverr, through niche communities like yours, through the people you meet. people that you find on Instagram, and then you can just transact with them directly through Cash App or something like that. There's other freelance websites like Upwork. There's also like Legit, a few different websites out there to commission people to do business with. Now we're getting into business.
You could totally just post a tweet about, hey, I need a new logo, and you'll instantly get 20 new followers and 20 people DMing you about graphic design. Just a little tip.
Don't do that. That's an interesting thing that you're saying there, and that's an interesting hack I've never heard before. But
that's how graphic designers get a lot of their business, is they'll go on to the search page and they'll do, you know, hashtag needed designer, right? And then they'll just go to the top tweets and just DM them, hey, I'm a designer, you need some work, new client.
That's where the artist versus the logical side comes, because the artist is going to do it the hardest way possible, right? And the logical person is going to go try to get to the finish line the fastest.
Straight to it.
You know what I mean? Right. Straight to the thing. And I'm obviously not good at either, because you're just telling me something that,
well,
you know,
I do a lot of graphic design. So I actually, gotcha. I design all of, well, not all of it. I had some help initially in the beginning, but I do all of Premiere's like video editing, all of Premiere's animation work. I made the website. The amount of things that I've put into this company has been well past what a traditionally, you know, the owner founder should be doing, right? Should be outsourcing these kind of things. And I guess it does go back to what you're saying, is you just gotta have a love for it, right? And if you don't, then you're not gonna, that emotion, you know, is just probably not there. And I think that that's a big part of it. And I don't know, maybe I'm just too picky for other people.
I mean, if you're actually passionate about the thing that you're doing, you're gonna be more heavily scrutinized about it. So like, for instance, I've been doing the videography and the podcasting for quite some time. You know, I've tried to bring people on to get involved, and some people are good and some people are, it doesn't click, you know, it's not there. Even though they're able to do it, the overall message or the thing that we're trying to accomplish, it just isn't going in the right direction. So, you have to separate yourself from those people.
I feel that more than you know.
Yeah. It's something that I think that people who do have a more artist background experience a lot when they get into business and entrepreneurship, and attempting to do it on for themselves rather than for a company or a corporation or something like that. A startup, for instance, if you're joining a heavily logical entrepreneur. And so it all obviously depends on circumstance. So yeah, I commend you, and you know, I appreciate a lot that you put in that creative background into your business, because there are people who don't, really, right? And they're in the business because it's either CBD, esports, or blockchain, like those three things, and you're an entrepreneur. Right.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. I think I've always, when people ask me how I got into esports, I always tell them it's by accident. It really was not my intention to be where we are now, and never in my wildest dreams did I think that I would be pitching, you know, up to $1 million one day for something that I just did for fun as a hobby. So, yeah, I mean, it's a wild world you live in, and you know, your passions grow, and this has definitely been a learning experience, and I've had to really intentionally stretch and really take some initiative in terms of my skill set with retraining my brain and thinking differently and not not accepting mediocrity and making sure that when I speak to people that it comes off the way that a leader should be speaking. And it definitely was a tough journey, and I'm by no means finished learning. I mean, there's so much knowledge and so much content that still needs to be absorbed. So that, I think that's really what keeps me coming back, honestly. It's like new frontier, new territory, and just the amount of information that somebody can teach you just from doing it differently in a different part of the country is just wild to me.
Absolutely. So I guess we could get into the selling section if you want to.
Let's do it.
And this is where I think they will, which is interesting. I think this value will be, you know, highly valuable to you personally. So I don't know what your sort of background, I don't know your history with venture capital is, but I live in Austin, and Austin is one of the most highly dense places for technology and venture capitalism. We have
some friends that live out
there. Too many cohorts, way too many venture capital firms. It's like a
startup city,
a sea of startups. And partly that's due to infrastructure. You know, fortunate enough, the city of Austin was sponsored by Google Fiber, and they laid down the infrastructure for that to be possible. South by Southwest is a convention that basically brings technology and into the space, has made me, as someone who's highly skeptical of investors and loan officers and your average person that wants to get involved in a startup. So I've had many experiences with people in the space at various different levels, and especially I've got connections from people who've, you know, that graduated from the University of Texas, that went on to host things at the Capital Factory, and you know, I've had worked with production companies that created content for Sputnik ATX, and I've been networked with Galvanize. The guys and now I'm just gonna forget the name of their venture capital firm. Anyway, you know, meeting Paul O'Brien, who's the guy who's ahead of all of that, in a virtual world recently, but having, you know, met with a lot of other people who are presidents or CEOs of these firms, or on the board of the firm or something like that, and seeing how the actual business gets done versus how to sell an idea. So it's interesting. Obviously, you talked about leadership, talk about someone who's driven, someone who has the capacity to operate the people, and has personal skills to hold together the team, right? So mm-hmm. There's like three different characteristics that someone needs to possess, in my mind. Now, right. Obviously, I'm not making the decisions. I mean, it could always be, you know, the shirt that you wore that day is the reason why someone wants to give you $1 million. You know, it might be the color of your eyes. It might be the music that you came into the room listening to that one of the angel investors decided to bid on your company, right? And it obviously all depends, and this is sort of like this is very much like
you're speaking to me right now. It's fine.
This is very much directed at you. But I will go back and talk about streamers and players and coaches and people that are you know, wanting to, you know, to be involved in the industry and make money in the industry. But I think this is highly valuable too. And I think that, you know, I wish in some ways we had connected before so that we could have like a conversation and maybe I could help, you know, push your deck forward and make it so that you're,
I'll show it to you after this,
able to present.
I'm pretty dang proud of it.
Yeah.
I'll show it to you afterwards, but continue, please.
Yeah. I mean, and making yourself, and it's not so much about your deck. It's not so much about,
So
much about your speech. It's, well, I mean, it is about you, but it isn't in another way because, and people will say it like this. They'll say you need to present yourself. You need to put your best foot forward, right? And it's sort of like a that's like a meme at this point. What it is you need the confidence to get out exactly what it needs to be said. So, for instance, with esports, I say this like this is the most example of somebody that there's a barrier, obviously, virtually. So, you know what, that's like a really good advantage for you is the distance between, you know, the actual energy of a room versus the energy, you know, that you have to build up for yourself.
I think it's a disadvantage, to be honest. So for me, you said you didn't know a whole lot about my background. So for me, I've been in sales for 10 years. I taught sales training courses. I sold cars for Mercedes-Benz at the top level. I sold insurance. I taught kids how to, I don't know if you've ever been to like a Costco or like a Best Buy and been bothered by somebody holding a clipboard. I used to like teach those kids how to like create something from nothing and then sell them something. So I think honestly, the fact that I have to do a Zoom call is a huge disadvantage for me because I thrive on body language and, you know, small cues like that. And I don't even know if they're going to have cameras where I can see reactions. So it's going to be a test, I think, for sure. But we'll see.
I do think that skill set is important. I personally have that experience as well. I don't have the same energy that you do in that regard. I have like a different way, I guess. I'm a little. I think that the key word that worked for me there was the association that you have, not necessarily the experience. And so, me, if I was, you know, somebody that was going to be, offering a sizable amount of venture capital for you. I'm also a math person, so when I look at it, I look at the risk cost to benefit ratio, right?
Right.
And so I'm like the worst customer that you possibly could.
You're called a right? bull.
Yeah.
Assuming you're pausing. Do you want me to explain it or no?
Oh no, feel free. Yeah, feel free to explain it because there's going to be value to people who.
Yeah, and listen. I don't know if this is a term maybe that you've heard before, but really there's four types of customers. And I would say if that's how you are and you like to be that difficult, you know, ask a lot of questions, know all the answers, have all the analytical stuff, I would say that you fall into the category of a bull. And that tends to be, you know, males tend to be bulls, and they'll take charge of the conversation really quickly, right? Really the trick with dealing with in a sales process with somebody that is very much an alpha type is you let them play alpha. You're selling, but they think that they're playing defense on you the whole time, so they're trying to act a little bit smart, you know, and test you and see what you know and really see if you know your stuff, if you will. And really I think there's nothing wrong with that. There's tons of people out there like that. Really, all you got to do is this is just a quick disarm. You create a little bit of space in between the person. let them have their fun with their words. And then if you're feeling really gutsy, you can hit them with a little ego attack. And it looks different in different sales processes, but you hit them with some kind of phrase that catches them off guard a little bit. And then you assert yourself as the professional. You let them know that, hey, I know what I'm talking about. It catches them off guard a little bit, and then they're dialed in with what you're talking about.
And I do believe that system works. I think
it's not perfect.
Unfortunately for me and somebody that's, you know, been traveled to the Eastern world halfway, I have like a cultural subjected to a new culture of the way that people operate. So sales systems like that work incredibly well when there's a monopoly. So especially here locally, like there's like a few different television companies or
that's who I used to teach.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that system, I've learned that system through through sort of the door to door sales.
That's a grind right there.
Yeah, I love door to door sales. Right? It's a much more personal level. The in store stuff for me is like, it's just, it's
a little bothersome.
You as an individual could be spending your time much more wisely. Like, do you really want to just be standing in a Walmart all day? Like, do you really want to be where you are? Like, some people need to, right? It's a necessity.
I thought it was invaluable learning, you know, I guess it's like boot camp, you know, you go through the shit together, and then you come out better at the end of the day from it. And I know for me personally, it was changing for sure, learning how to do all that stuff and putting yourself through it. But
how many people did you know that didn't make it out?
What do you mean didn't make it out? Like that are still in?
How many people do you know that end up being, you know, that lost it to a battle much more life concerning, like drug abuse or suicide or something in those lines.
In that line of work?
In that line of work, yeah.
It's a pretty high majority. I mean, not majority, but it's a pretty high percentage.
It's a high percentage.
It's definitely a single man's life. It's definitely high stress. Really, I think low reward lifestyle. And, you know, unless you're top tier, you know, you're really scrounging. And I personally never had to deal with any suicide from that industry. But I am, you know, that is a big part of my core, like, support, like, you know, supporting suicide prevention, things like that. You know, I dealt with it a lot in my childhood, but the drug abuse and the drinking and the all the garbage that comes with it, yeah, I mean, it just breeds, for sure.
Right, I mean, isn't it generally an industry that has high turnover, number one?
Oh, yeah.
And number two, it's somewhat entry level, although it's, you know, it would be more advantageous if they got people who are a little bit more experienced involved, but they do generally get people who are a little bit more in need than the average person. So the system works well because it's wash, rinse, and repeat. Mm-hmm. And so
scalable.
So the language, right, the language, I think the language is incredibly easy to learn, right? It's a system that people can learn the vocabulary and and work with. And I'm sure you were really, you know, you were great at making it happen. How long did you do that? I didn't pick that up.
Yeah, so I taught it for 3 years, on and off. I did it for about a year and a half, and then quit, and then came back. I don't know if anybody has ever done that before, but I came back, and then, you know, obviously I did end up leaving after that, for a position over at Mercedes, which was totally different. But yeah, I mean, it was interesting, that's for sure.
So with that like sales experience, now I'm just trying to get some variety out of this, because I think that, you know, ultimately you have a lot of value in talking about this subject, because you've seen the different sales systems. You've seen you know, high end, high ticket sales like a Mercedes to a low end ticket sales like a cell phone being sold to, you know, you talked about it earlier, but you could probably talk about it again. It's like working, you know, music industry with their original Premiere. What do you think the big difference is, and why have you like transitioned and done different things? Now I'm asking you questions.
He's the host now. No, I mean, that's good. I don't think I've ever talked about it. I think really the difference for me was why? That's the biggest thing that I learned over the last few years, is why are you doing something? And if your why doesn't make sense for what you're doing, then you're not going to do it. And I didn't realize it until I read, you know, Simon Sinek. You know, Start With Why. It's a great book, a very, I would say, entry-level motivational book. Pretty easy read, but I think really that's what it came down to. You know, when I was first out of school and starting to get a career, I needed the job that I, first of all, didn't have to do any kind of manual labor because I don't have the body type for it. That's no secret. I'm a little guy, so I didn't want to be shoveling, you know, dirt for minimum wage. So I thought, you know, hey, maybe I can go and use my wit and see where it takes me. And really just kind of fell in love with the addiction of making a sale and that adrenaline you get from closing. You know, it truly is addicting. And you know, selling different types of products, you really see a lot of the same processes overlap in different areas between what you're selling, until you gain enough knowledge of human behavior that it doesn't really matter what you're selling. You can sell it to anybody. And really, it comes down to how much you want to learn about what your profession is. So I'm looking at you right now, and I'm looking at your expression like this, right? This is intentional listening, right? This is you locking in on what I'm saying. So if I was in person with you, I would say, this guy's very engaged with what I'm talking about. I could say whatever I want. He's listening. And it those are the type of things that you pick up on, and it doesn't really matter where you're selling or what you're selling. It comes down to the small little human behavior details, I think. So selling a car, you gotta, my mentor always used to say this, you gotta touch them here before you, my wallet's over there, but before you can grab their wallet and get any money from them, you have to connect with them, right? And once you get this, it doesn't matter how much your product is or really what your product is, they see the emotion behind what you're doing and they connect with it. It should be a done deal, you know? And there's tons of different things that I could really go into that I picked up there, you know, from the different experiences, but kind of just depends. That's a whole... I could go into that for a long conversation. Did that answer your question, or not really?
I appreciate that, I think. For me... you could have sold me a monitor that I need to have to look directly in the camera. But I am definitely someone who's, you know, has wants to listen to, and I'm an energy person, so I learn off of people. I do also like to read books. It's something we that you mentioned there, and I'm also I'm a big avid podcast listener, audiobook listener. I'm a self-taught person,
right?
And also a system taught person. So, so I'm sort of an anomaly in that sense. A lot of people rest on their systems to do for them, and whether that be reading books or, you know, listening to music or what kind of. No, I'm someone that's, like you said, someone that's the bull characteristic. And I've been I think that most men aren't bulls, but that's probably some ego there, like you're talking about. I think that a lot of people at this stage, you know, are complacent. They are, you know, kind of set in their tribes. Mm-hmm. And if they're stuck in those tribes, comfort zones, and as a result, they don't get enough of a kick, you know, to go and do something meaningful in their lives. So, you know, if someone's listening to this and thinks, well, what's that change that's going to happen in me? Like you're talking about reaching someone's heartstrings, pulling them into doing something, you know, meaningful in their lives, right? First thing to think about is, what do you want to do? It's what. Maybe it even includes a why, because what do you want to do?
It always includes a why. It always includes a why, whether you know it or not.
Yeah. I think I agree. I haven't been proven that that's not true. You know, this conversation generally comes up a lot about what is your why, right? Personally, like I'm a single male, right? So, there are multiple different reasons, you know, why isn't such a big deal in my life right now. More of like the what, the creating the resume, creating the ledger of and the persona around what I do, right? And so there is a why in that, but it isn't the why, right? So it is sort of split in that way. And so when I say, what do you want to do, I think the direction is important, because I personally set out these sorts of goals, like I want to accomplish being a podcaster. I want to accomplish being a certain thing, right? And so in being that thing, it takes taking action to do it. So ultimate why ends up becoming, you know, multiple different things. Could be money at the time. And so there's sort of like there's immediate values and long-term values. There's all sorts of different values that you can gain, right? So why is there, but you know, ultimately do all men do it for, you know, women or something like that, or do it for, you know, romantic partners, or do they do it for you know, the emotional connection with another person? You know, some people are psychotic, you know, some people have an issue, slight psychosis,
right?
You know, and so their why might be misconstrued,
or I agree with that. They,
or who knows?
Yeah, I was having a conversation with a guy in our organization. We have a tiered system within Premier that lets you know, people of all different types of experience levels get involved with esports, right? Entry level all the way up to, you know, how serious you want to get, right? We had a guy who was like, hey, I really want to, you know, I want to be an esports player, and I want to be a Call of Duty player. And I was like, I love the attitude. Love where you're at. Why do you want to do it? He was like, I don't know, man. It's just like my favorite game. I really like where the league is, and I really think I want to be up there, you know, with those other guys. And I was like, that's awesome, but why do you want to do it? He was like, what? I don't know. I was like, well, okay, no problem. You don't have to have an answer for me right now. I'm naturally just curious because it's a lot of work, right? For me, that's why I'm asking. He thinks I'm asking because maybe I'm just curious, right? So I was like, okay, just think about it and then come back to me, right? Long story short, he never got back to me as to why he wanted to do it. A few months later, Call of Duty is a grind. It's a hard game to go CDL in, right? There's a lot of competition, a lot of competitors. Only so many spaces, right? And he came to me a few months later and was like, you know, hey, man, I just don't think I want to do this anymore. I just don't think I'm cut out for it. I'm not good enough. I can't do it. I was like, man, I'm really sad to hear you say that. But don't limit yourself. You know, I think if this is something you truly want to do, then what's the phrase? By all means. Isn't that the phrase? By all means, if this is what you really want to do, you're going to make it happen no matter what. And I asked him again. I said, hey, man, why do you do what you do? He was like, you know, I still don't have an answer for you. And I was like, you know, that's not a problem. But I think until you find out what that answer is for you, where you're at right now, everything is going to be a tennis ball right now. It's just going to be bounce, 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 bounce. Because you're looking to really, truly find that one thing that is deeply rooted to yourself as to what you identify with. No matter what that is, that could be a job, that could be a relationship, that could be money, that could be a possession, that could be a spiritual connection, that could be anything. But until you really figure that out, no level of success is going to be fulfilled because that why has not been satisfied. Do you know what I mean? And I think that was the advice that I had for him was, if your why is to help people, I think most people, if you ask, what is it that you like to do? Why are you a nurse? Why do you like that? They say, oh, I like to help people, right? But I think it goes another level deeper than that. And I think that's what a lot of people don't realize about themselves is they are more than just those, you know, nouns and adjectives. I care for people. I like other people. I'm social. It's way deeper than that. And I think if people, you know, you sit down and do some spiritual thinking and some deep reflection, you really find out a lot about who you are and what your motivations are. That was a long story, but
yeah, no, I'm listening. I think, you know, I don't know about this individual who wants to be in the Call of Duty League. You know, if I think I would have, I think I approach, you know, I approach it like I want to see them fail so they learn that they can't do it or they can do it, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to tell them everything that needs to be done exactly. To do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they're not able to accomplish it, who is held accountable for that failure?
They are. And you're exactly right. That's exactly what happened.
So for him, it depends. But then again, unfortunately for him, fortunately for him, how old is he?
It's like mid to late 20s.
Okay, mid to late 20s. Unfortunately, the system just wasn't designed at the time for right. him to be successful. And for me too, like or in so many ways, I'm 27 today. And the system of esports was not designed for someone from where I'm at to just, you know, breeze through it. You know, it's a much higher hill to climb. Mm-hmm. It's the Mount Everest of things to climb versus, you know, someone who grew up in Korea, right? There's just the accessibility rate is higher.
Right.
So, yes, like in the sense of like, you know, depending upon his living conditions and where he lives, he's going to need, you know, some direction in the sense of like his why, because he might not have been designed with the tribe he was involved in might have not have the vocabulary or the lexicon or the colloquialisms to support even answering the question of why, because no one else talks about why. You know, if you're trying to dig ditches, nobody cares why.
Right. You know what I mean? They're doing it because they need money.
They need money. They need to put food on the table, right? And so I guess we can just kind of let the snake eat the tail in this situation is that if you're just wanting to get into the industry, be a streamer, be a content creator, be someone that's a content writer, caster, do something, you know, in the space and create a buzz, create a portfolio for yourself so that you're being exposed and people can see what you're doing, you know, like this podcast right here, for instance. But the thing about this, and you have to, you know, understand the macro of this, like Chase has been doing this for, you know, X amount of years more than you. And so there's going to be this mysticism of even getting started, right? Well, you know, ask Chase personally, how do you do it? You know, what's the first thing that you did, Chase? How did you learn how to design? Like what were you doing? What were you doing in your free time that differentiated the time that you had to spend for someone other than yourself? What was the difference, right? And I don't think a lot of people ask that question because they just want to hear. They want to hear the get rich quick scheme, the trick,
a million followers in a month. That type of thought process, well, for sure.
Or even like if they're in a situation where they're in an organization, they're like, how do I get favoritism from someone inside the system to, you know, give me the opportunity to potentially get a promotion, right? Or how can I leverage this person internally to get over someone, right? Over, under, that's another thing. Yeah, man, I just love doing it on my own. I think my why ultimately comes, I want to be a baller, man.
That's okay, you know, man. If that's what you like, that's what you
burn
like.
Burn out, you know what I mean?
No problem, man. If you wanna ride Lamborghinis, that's cool, man. That's cool. If that's your why, dude, I'm all about it. If you wanna be
about the ball and just like success, man. I just hyper success. That's what I like. I like creating business, right? I like helping people create business. I like to see people win championships. I'm not like that. I don't want to say I live vicariously, but in some ways I do feel like I live vicariously because I love seeing people be successful. I love people passing the finish line. Even if it's like getting fifth place, at least they did it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Fifth place is better than not starting, right? As you're at the starting line and you haven't even started the run. Like,
we have a phrase that I use in some of these videos that I've been doing. I have like a 5-part series that I started. I like randomly just came up with the phrase, just stop talking and just build, right? Just build it. And we started a little like YouTube montage series called Build Don't Talk, and to be honest, I'm all about it. I might make a t-shirt or something that says it.
Build Don't Talk. Hashtag build don't talk.
It's hot. I like it. I really like what it stands for, and I said it just jokingly, but I really do I like what, you know, what it means. It's just like if you want to do something, just build it. Just stop talking about building it. Just build it. See how it goes. Tear it down hot. And do it again. And if it's wrong,
it's hot. Paris Hilton, Hotlanta. Yeah, there you go.
Right.
I'd say this, like sales, it is communication, like for sure. But yeah, if you're building, you know, you want something to sell, right? So if you have nothing to sell, then there's no reason why you should be talking, right? So you need to build something first, you know, and then communicate about it, or even have, well, of course, an idea is great. Having an idea is great. But if there's no implementation in it, then that's the difference between what I'm doing, what you're doing, and what somebody who's contemplating doing something they haven't done it. So why are they talking about it? Like, talking about it is only going to just make people frustrated and mad because they're like, well, what have you done in esports at all? You know what I mean? And then there are, of course, those hyper hyper judgmental people who are going to be like, oh, you're not FaZe Clan, you're not Optic, you're not Team Liquid, you're not TSM, you're not DreamHack, you're not Blizzard, you're not all these things, and you can never, oh, you know, be at scale at any point in time. You know what I mean? You'll never be like them.
You're closed-minded, whatever.
I mean, it goes back to another thing you said. It's people's comfort zones. They're what they're exposed to. Douglas Rushkoff talks about this. He says it's the filter bubble. It's the things that surround you. It's that limit of 300, right? That maximum capacity that limits some people. But what you ultimately want to accomplish is pushing yourself through, but you're gonna have to shed a little bit. You're gonna have to shed the skin and rise like the phoenix, baby, and overcome that past that's holding you back from your future.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I could keep going on this for a long time, but I think that pretty much wraps up this episode here. So I thank everybody for showing up. Trent, do you want to drop some social links so people can find you on your socials? And then we'll call it an episode and save next one for round two.
Oh, absolutely. I could go on and on.
I know, right?
Forever, man. You're fun to talk to. I enjoy it. I think that, you know, there's a lot of value in your experience and what you've done so far, and you know, there's things that I've learned from you so far about your history and what led you to where you're at today in Premier Esports, and I'm saying this because I'm going to learn more about you very soon. Next month we're going to have you on the Esports Business Network podcast, and I'm so
very excited.
If you're listening to this this podcast and you'd like to be on that show, you can also apply to be on our show. It's a guest.ebn.gg. File the application there, and my assistant and other people will review it and see when we should get you on the show. We usually get everybody on the show at some point in time. We're recording about once a week. We record on Friday, goes out on Monday at 6 a.m. CST. And so if you want to be a part of that, just go check it out and listen to the podcast on all the mainstream networks. So just search Esports Business Network podcast and you'll find it. If you are looking for a little bit more of some hands-on community stuff, of course, join Premier Esports community on Discord. Also join our community on Discord. Depends what you're trying to do. Of course, there's opportunities to promote on ours. I'm sure there's opportunities to promote on Premier.
Mm-hmm.
So promote on there. A little bit more of an advantage if you would like, sign up on our website to get that free bronze membership. We're going to be
do
and,
that.
And you'll get access to that bronze membership. And then afterwards, you're going to be, you know, in January timeframe, unless we decide to extend it. We might extend it. We're going to be kicking it back up to $25 a month, but we're going to be giving you a webinar every Wednesday from now on about a topic in esports that people are trying to overcome. You know, we started off with networking, did branding. Next week, we started off networking, then we did money, how to earn money in the space. Next week, we're going to talk about branding. We're going to have a lawyer on the show. We're going to have an app developer on the show. But yeah, so doing some different stuff. As all the social media is Esports Business Network. And feel free. Email me directly at TrentKnox@ebn.gg and follow me on all social medias at TrentKnoxTV.
Love it. Make sure you guys go follow it. If you guys want a crash course, how to start building and stop talking, go get that bronze thing. I did it. Some good stuff in there. Really check it out. So, Trent, appreciate you being on the show. Guys, this is episode 23. Make sure you guys go drop some love on the home team, PremierGG.com, PremierGGMerch.com. Check us out on Twitch. We've got a whole host of creators. I think we're up to over 100 now from our whole community, and they're on the Twitch team. So If you guys are interested in getting involved in what we're doing, head on over to the website, hit the About tab, read up on what we're doing, check out Premier Rising, and stay tuned for the next episode. I appreciate you guys coming by, and have a good weekend.
Hey, y'all, it's Trent Knox, founder and CEO of Esports Business Network. I want to say thank you for listening to this podcast. If you're finding value in the podcast, I would greatly appreciate it if you share the podcast to your network and write a positive review on your preferred podcast platform. If you're feeling extra generous, feel free to make a contribution to our working capital accounts on Cash App or PayPal. Our username is ESPORTSBIZNET. That's Esports BizNet on both platforms. As always, we'd love for you to join our community and platform at https://www.ebn.gg. You can take advantage of a free subscription to our Bronze membership by following the directions on the homepage. Part of the Bronze membership is access to our Discord server and private membership channels. The conversation only evolves with participation from esports entrepreneurs like yourself. We need to hear about your esports business to understand how we can move the industry forward as a community. You can also join the community by joining the Facebook and LinkedIn groups. An additional goal of EBN is to move the conversation forward on your preferred social media platform. So as a last note, don't forget to follow us on social media for current events, news, and other esports related topics. Follow and subscribe to Esports Business Network on social media. Looking forward to networking with you very soon.